Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Going to be short, sweet, to the point, ready to write, ready to go with us. So, last week I started a series called Show Us the Way. Prior to that, we did a series called Jesus, Would You Teach Us to Pray? And now we're asking Jesus to show us the way. Why? Because Proverbs 14:12 says this: there is a way that seems right to a man, and the end is the way of death. And so we may think so. I don't want us to be able to think that we're on the right way. We must make sure that we're on the right way and what we're doing. And so when we get before the Father one day, He says, well done, you good and faithful servant. That's what we're aiming at. That's what we're going for. Because not every way is the right way. And so there is the right way and the wrong way. And when we used to have the Ordway family in here, it used to be my way, your way, or the Ordways. It was always a standing family joke. But Ezekiel always says that the shepherds were accused of muddying the waters. And so as leaders, we don't want to muddy the water. We want to be as clear as possible. And so we need to make sure that we don't present a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Because we really need to be able to walk in His fullness and His grace and His power and His understanding. And it requires us to know the way. In Matthew 7:13, it says, enter the narrow gate. It tells you right off the bat which choice to make. Enter the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there is many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. And so Harland was telling how many people are passing away outside of Christ and how many people are passing away in Christ. And we understand that there is a broad way that's going the wrong way. And so we just understand that the majority is not always right. And say, because this denomination is this big, or this belief is so big, that they must be going the right way. No. Sheep can be dumb. They can just follow blindly and not know the way. So we need to understand that we are guided by the Holy Spirit. The way He's guiding us is the way of Jesus. Why? Because the way of Jesus was to do the will of the Father. So that's why we want to make sure we are understanding the way in which to go. Because Jesus clearly said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can get to the Father. That's why it says that the way is narrow. It's not exclusive, very inclusive. So whoever picks Jesus can get to the Father. So it's very clear. So He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so our purpose is to know God, the God we love and serve. We need to know Him. And so even as I've journeyed in my marriage 40 years, it's the whole journey has been to get to know Valerie. And I'm still getting to know Valerie. It's amazing as you become seniors that different things appear in our lives that we hadn't seen before. So it's a wonderful journey. But when you want to know it, because Daniel clearly says, those who know their God will be strong. The people who know their God will be strong. And so this is a relational knowing that we need to have, a relational knowing. And so we're invited to have a personal relationship with God, a personal relationship. And so it's not, I'm part of this God thing, and you don't know God at all. You don't know His nature, His character at all. And so we need to understand that, because when you are in that place of knowing God, I've been journeying with God close on 45 years now. I am ruined and I'm glad. There is a knowing about God. So when I come through challenges or go through some valleys or go through some difficulties, I know the God in whom I serve. Because He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. But He's given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And when we are in that place of knowing God, then we are fearless and faithful. We have this capacity to be fearless, knowing that our God is with us. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's with us. So we need to know who God is, what he has and what He can do. Because when we know who God is, what He has and what He can do, it empowers us to know who we are, what we have, and what we can do. It empowers us because we know which side we're on. I say here, it's like being part of the military, the United States military. When you're in the front lines there, you know who's backing you. You know the commitment of those Marines. You know the commitment of the Navy. You know the commitment that's behind you. And so when we are pushing forward with the kingdom of God and you're going to that place where you're new in your faith, Step in there knowing that you know the God in whom you serve. He loves you. He's not setting you up to fail. He wants you to win in the front lines. And that's what he wants us to do. So we need to know him. So last week we titled the sermon, Jesus, and asked Jesus to show us the way to hear God. And I realized I did a quantum leap of presumption that I need to go back, because I presumed that everybody knows that God speaks. And it'd be a mess surprise that not everybody believes that God speaks to us today outside of Scripture. And so I have to realize that I had to dial it back, because if I go ahead and talk to you about walking in this relationship and you know that God doesn't speak to us, then you're in this position where you won't set an appointment. Why should I be still in worship? Because I'm not going to hear from God because he's not talking to me. Yeah, I may read and pray, because that's what the preachers on the front say. I need to pray and I need to read the word scriptures. Well, why should I listen and write? Because God's not going to speak to me. So I had to dial it back and realize I have to back it up a bit. Because why do I presume that? Because there's some denominations that will pull your accreditations if you preach from the pulpit that God speaks to you today. Because you're adding to Scripture. And that's not so. We need to make sure that lie is there. Because if you do not quote book, chapter, and verse, you're adding to Scripture. It's amazing that this one denominational guy was pulled in and he was grilled for 3 hours in front of the denominational board. Because he had preached that God speaks to us and that we need to listen to God speak to us. And so they grilled him with all the theology, why he was wrong. And then he said, can I just have permission to ask you one question before you dismiss? And they said, yes, you can ask the question. So he said, board, who called you to preach? And all their heads dropped. And he says, I need to pull an answer out of you. So obviously the chairman had to, you know, to say front, and he says, well, God called me to preach. He says, would you just give me book, chapter, and verse on that? Because we all know that we're called to preach. We're called to walk a certain way with God. And we know that there is no book, chapter, and verse. We just know from the instructions in these scriptures, God has called me. And you need to step into it. Yes, God does confirm. He doesn't speak outside of confirming it with his word. He doesn't contradict his word at all in what he says and how he speaks to us. So I can't presume that everybody believes that God speaks. But today I want to title the message, God Speaks. And the first question is, does God speak? And in passing last week, I told you that all the way through the scriptures, God spoke to Adam and Eve, Noah and Abraham. He spoke to Isaac and Jacob and Deborah and Ruth. He spoke to Samuel. He spoke to the prophets. He went on and then he spoke to Elizabeth and Mary and Zechariah, John's dad. And you're saying, well, all those angels came and spoke. Well, let me just illustrate that. Do you want to mute this quick? One mute button? You can unmute me. Hallelujah. So what did I say to you? You got to talk in the other ear. Precious man of God. So Fred went and told Phil what I said. So when an angel comes and speaks to you, who spoke to you? Who spoke to you? God spoke to you. What happened to Joseph when the dream came? The dream spoke to him. Who presented the dream? You got to understand that God is speaking to us. And there are messages. Sometimes he'll speak to us through what is preached, what you read in the scriptures, what you hear in a song. So it's important that you understand that God is speaking to us. He went on. And just imagine Jesus now coming, God in the flesh, and his dad speaks to him. Amazing. Wow. He's speaking to him. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Book, chapter, and verse, please, God. Where is it? Hey? And then he speaks to Paul. or first it was Saul before he became Paul. Very gentle Jesus, meek and mild, just knocked Paul on the ground and said, hey, listen. I mean, so he spoke to Paul, told Paul, hey, I don't want you to go and preach in Asia. Spoke to Paul. How about Philip? You got this revival going on here in Samaria. I need you to go to the desert and go and speak to Ethiopian eunuch and tell him about salvation. Amazing. Let's speak about that. And John and the Isle of Patmos. So yes, we understand that. So when the scriptures were canonized, God didn't go silent. He's been speaking for 2,021 years. He's been speaking. And so we got to understand, God speaking, are we listening? Are we listening? There's radio waves going around here. There's Wi-Fi signals going around here. There's cell signals going around here. But if we do not if we're not dialed in, if we're not tuned in, if we're not activated with our receivers and dialed in, we're not going to hear it. And all of us that are technically challenged sometimes find out that's our problem. We're not dialed in because we haven't got, and we're trying to hear God with our physical ear, and God saying, I've given you spiritual ears to hear what I'm saying. And so we need to be aware of that. He says, I don't want us to be ignorant. We need to know that. And Jesus went on to say this, to enforce the point here. In John 16, verse 12, it says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Now, if that's not God speaking after Jesus has gone, then I don't know. Then what is Jesus? He's smoking good stuff and telling us this stuff. Hey, God is telling us that he will send his Holy Spirit and he will speak to us. So we need to be fully persuaded that God speaks to us. In the New Testament, he has more access in speaking to us. Why? Because as born-again believers, we have the resident Holy Spirit within us. So he can communicate with us. So the question, does God speak? Our answer is yes, he does speak. And he's been speaking for the last 2,021 years. And so we need to be listening. So the next question I'll have, who does God speak to? God speaks to sheep. God speaks to sheep. We believers are referred to as sheep. And I mean, Jesus, in John chapter 10, you must go and read it sometime this week. He goes all out to talk about him as the shepherd and as the good shepherd and us as his sheep. I mean, he hits it every which way. Why? Because there's something about sheep that has an innate ability to hear the voice of the shepherd. I mean, goat doesn't do that. Lions don't do that. Elephants don't do that. Sheep have an innate ability to hear that. What's the word innate? Innate is an instinctive thing that you have at birth. And at salvation, at your new birth, there's something innate that happens to us as believers. We get to be able to hear God's voice. Because that's what the scriptures are saying. This innate thing is interesting. I've watched little dogs, little puppies, just barely born and stuff. And my dad used to hunt leopard and lion because they used to kill the animals in those days, the livestock. And you bring any animal like that close to any pup, any dog that's never seen, gone to school and been told that there is lions and there's leopards, they're absolutely going to a petrified state. Instinctively, innate, they know that those animals are dangerous. Lions and leopards and stuff like that. That's the same thing with sheep. We have an innate thing in us to understand that the shepherd hears the voice and gathers him. So in Israel, it's amazing that they have sort of an open grazing policy. So all the sheep come together, all the different herds come together, and the shepherds have a great little chit-chat party and share coffee and tea and have a chat. And when it's time to go, then the one shepherd just goes, yip, and starts walking. And every one of those sheep that know, yip, oi, and then the sheep just start going. Why? Because they innately know the voice. And I want to just tell us as believers, innately you know what the voice of the Spirit is. It's just you've got to be aware of it. You need to be told it. And so when John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. We believers as born again have an innate ability to hear that. And I've heard of ministers and businessmen that said, I've never heard the voice of God. And they're making some brilliant decisions. And I'm wondering, How can they make these incredible business decisions and these amazing steps of faith as ministers? And they say they don't hear it because they're trying to hear it with their natural ear, and it doesn't happen like that. Because you've got to understand, church, that we're born again and God speaks spirit to spirit. And so, in John 4:24, it says there that God is spirit. So he's speaking to our spirit man, which is our gut area, and that he speaks to us in that area. And last week I told you about how a flow of thoughts came up from my, the scripture calls it my heart, my belly, my innermost being. It's the wording that Paul uses and the scripture uses about being God speaking from your spirit man. And remembering we are a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul, which is your mind, will, and your emotions, and you live in an earth suit. We'll drop this earth suit and get our glorified bodies. We're looking forward to one day. And but we are a spirit, so we got to understand that there is a flow of thought that comes from our spirit into our soul area and brings it to an understanding. And so when we got that flow of thought that Val and I got to go to Flagler Beach, that was 17 years ago. God just said, "Which couple have I knit your heart with?" In the United States. I am sitting with a spinning globe here saying, God, where do you want us? And I'm spinning the globe. And he said, and he answers that way. I get this flow of thought that I was looking geographically. Where am I going to go? And God comes up with this, which couple have I knit your heart with? And I knew the answer to that. And straight away, that told me geographically where they are. And then he posed a question, phone them and find out. And when I did, because it flowed and came out of our belly. And I wanted you to see that it wasn't a geographic thing that God made me focus on. It's people he made me focus on. Which couple and made me focus on. And so God is speaking, and he is speaking to us in our spirit man. And so you may say, well, you know, that sheep, that thing that Jesus is talking about in John 10, that's the Jewish people. That's his blue-eyed group. I knew you were going to ask that question, so I just thought I'd just answer it. Yeah, John 10. 14 says, yeah, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Okay, get it right, Rod. 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, and other sheep I have are not of this fold. I think we're titled as the other sheep. Okay, we are the other sheep, of which we are not part of that fold. Then also I must bring them, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. You understand that there's not the Jewish nation that have special preferences and the rest of us. No. There's not two bodies, because there's not two heads. There's only one head and one body. And so you understand that when you're talking about sheep, that includes us. And I want us to be clearly about that. And Galatians 8:32 says there's neither Jew nor Greek. So the question is, who does God speak to? He speaks to us born again, sheepies. That's what he listens. And we need to be listening. Last thought I just want to throw out here. Why does God speak to us? Why does God speak to us? And it's all of us. Everybody says, he just speaks to the preacher or these ministers. Why does God speak to us? Well, God has a shepherd's heart. David writes Psalm 23. Man, the Lord is my shepherd. And he goes on and expresses, he cares for us. He provides for us. He restores us. He leads us beside still water. He comforts us. He protects us. He anoints us. There is our cup runs over. There is abundance. And goodness and mercy always is trailing us. Why? Because he's the good shepherd. That is God the Father. Jesus says, I've come to represent my Father, and my Father is doing what I do, and I do what my Father does. And you could see that he announced himself as the Good Shepherd, Jesus. And so he's doing what the Father does. And so it clearly needs to be seen. And as church people and as believers, what are we doing? We want God to speak. Why? To give us direction, to give us advice, to give us answers. That's why we're asking God all these and when we approach him. And because he's this God that provides. He's this God. But I want to just tell you that there is a prime reason why God speaks to us. The prime reason God speaks to us is friendship. You understand? That's why he created us. God wanted to bestow his love on someone. and we're the someone. And so when we are continually approaching him, because he's our director, he's our provider, he's God Almighty, and we need to serve and bow down. No, no. Prime reason why he wants to speak to us, because of friendship. I need you to understand that heart of Father, because it's not many times it's spoken about that God wants to be our friend. I heard this illustration. It had and had a question to it. And this obviously illustration was pre-COVID, okay? And it's about a popular author who had a friend in hospital. The author bought a couple of books to the reception of the hospital and said, "Hey, could you get these books up to my friend?" And went on with his day and went on with his week until his friend came out of the hospital. That's the one scenario. Then the other scenario is that there was a popular author, and when he heard about the news of his friend being in hospital, he went that very morning to the hospital, went and saw his friend, and took him a couple of books. He says, "This will keep you busy and read while you're here recovering." And when he left, he went and he texted back and said, "How's things going?" And when he came back that evening, he snuck around to fast food and snuck some fast food into the hospital to give it. Don't you think it's a good idea to take some fast food sometimes to the people at a hospital? Okay. I'm a pastor. I know these things. Okay. And he stayed and he kept visiting and popping in on his way to work and back. This author did that. Which author is the friend? Which author is the friend? And the reason why I say that, God didn't come and say, "Hey, I'm an author of this book. There's 66 books. Drop it at the pastor's lap. Make sure you buy enough for all the church. Give everybody. I'll see you later in eternity." The author didn't do that. God Almighty didn't do that. He gave us 66 books so we could learn more about him and understand his heart and understand his desire to interact with us as a friend. And God wants us to be a friend. And so we need to understand that's what it is. He didn't come and dump 66 books that he authored and just said, "Okay, I'll see you later." I am not taking away that this is the inspired word of God. I'm not taking away what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and for instructions into righteousness. I'm not taking anything away from the word of God. But there is a dimension of God that's saying, "Please, if you read my biography, can you get to know me? Can you get to know me as a friend?" And so God will speak and interact with us, but he will never contradict his word. It'll always confirm his word. And so it's important that I understand you. Can I give you some scriptures just to prove? Because show us some scripture that he wants to be a friend. Well, God 15:13, I didn't put it up there, but it's one I came up with. God gave me this morning. "Greater love has no one than this, than they lay down one's life for his friend." And he's talking about himself, how he laid his life down. And no greater love there is than that. And John 15:15, "No longer do I call you servant, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all the things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." That's how he's relating to us. He's relating to us as a friend. James 2:23, it says, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Going on with Exodus, it says here in Exodus 33:11, it says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." Are you seeing the heart of God, the Father, wanting to be a friend? He's invited us to do that. And so the reason God wants to speak to us is friendship. Even when we're not a nice friend, even when we are bad friends, God remains a good, good friend, even when we are terrible. Zechariah 13:6 says, "And one will say to him, 'What are these wounds between your arms?' Then he will answer, 'Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends.'" How about Judas, who had just had his feet washed a couple of hours before in Matthew 26? Now Judas had given them a sign saying, "Whoever I kiss, he is the one you seize. He is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, Why have you come? Whew, what a shepherd. Friend, why have you come? God speaking to us as a friend. God has access to us because we believe this, because of Holy Spirit, and because of what Jesus did with his life, death and burial and resurrection. He has access to us to speak to us. In closing, I want to just say this. As we journey in our relationship with God, we'll find out what touches us more than what he does for us. What he does, what he says to us, touches us more than what he does for us. There's something about when God speaks to you and touches you and he speaks to you is better than what he's provided and made a way for you. I say this because a number of years ago, here while I was having my quiet time, and we were going through a difficult time. It was really challenging as a church. The Lord's weighty presence came and just rested on me while I was having my quiet time. And he spoke to me from that innermost place I've been explaining to you. And he says it in such a way that affected me for many years and still affects me today. He said, I want to thank you for coming to Flagler and standing with my loved ones here. Thank you for leaving your family, your friends, your home, and your comforts to obey my instructions and my leading. I want you to go and verbally tell Valerie the same. It may sound like nothing to you, but when you are in the real heat of battle and you have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords like hug you like you've never been hugged before and whisper those words in your ears, you say, it's all worth it. Everything is worth it, my dad. Everything is worth it. So now I feel God, the Father, wants to have deep words of affirmation that he wants to give you. But he says, some of you just didn't believe that I speak, and I want to speak to you. Would you just make an appointment? Make an appointment and spend time with me, and I want to speak to you. And I want us to be aware that he does speak to us. So does God speak? Yes. Who does God speak to? Us who believe. Why does he speak? Because of friendship. Thanks, Freddie. Let's pray. So what's God saying to us? I know he's speaking. Are we listening? He loves speaking to us. He wants to speak with us. I know you can bring out a list of all sorts of dirty washing and say, Dad, you really don't want to speak to this. I've been a real yuck yuck. And he says, I can't see anything except the blood of my son that's covered everything. But what I can see is your face. And many of us, we seek God, seek God's hand. Can I encourage you to seek his face? Would you seek his face? Because he really wants to speak with you. He wants to be your friend. He wants you to get to know him. So Father, I thank you. As we come in prayer now, we just know that you are the one that has been seeking us out all our lives. We've been able to respond to you and give our lives to you. But Father, there's some in the sound of my voice that have never responded and said, Jesus, would you come and be Lord of my life? Come into my life and be my friend. And if that's you in the sound of my voice, would you just pray with us as we pray as a church and just invite him in? It's not a religious thing that we're doing. This is just a relational thing and saying, Jesus, would you come into my heart? Come into my life. Can I have that access to be a friend? Can I have your spirit within me so I can hear your voice and I can hear your instructions and I can hear your love and I can hear you talk to me? If that's you, would you just pray with us in church? Would you pray out loud and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that you died on that cross for me, that you paid for my sins, that I may go free. today, I come to you. I accept you as my Lord. I invite you into my life. I thank you that I can now call you friend as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you responded in that way, just let me know. Contact me. Talk to me. If you're online, just email me, text me. Send a message by the app that you've been listening on. But church, what is God saying to us? And so we may want to be able to get our spiritual ears up. And He's going to talk from our guts. It's going to be a flow of thought that's going to come from our belly. And it may be just one word, maybe a couple of words, maybe a couple of sentences, maybe a scripture, and remind you of a scripture. And when it does, it'll personalize you, because He's a personal God. When I say who has a personal relationship with God, the personal aspect means we have an interaction with the God whom we love. And so, Father, I thank you that as we look at ourselves and maybe have questioned whether you speak, that we'll settle it forward, that you do speak to us and that we need to listen. And Father, would you give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying? Spirit of God, would you speak to us? Would you guide us? I thank you that you are the great shepherd that leads us beside still water into pastures green. And that truly our cup runs over with the relationship that we have with you. Would you come? Would you minister to us as we set time aside, make an appointment with you? Would you come and be with us and speak to us? We pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, church. It's been good to be able to share the word with you. Fred and group are going to just lead us in song. And while they lead, if you have prayer needs, come up front. While we sing, it's going to give us a time to get you, come up. And then we're going to get the team to pray for you. I don't want you leaving with any needs. And then I'll just ask, as Freddie's finished singing that, if you would pray and dismiss us. And then we'll pray for those that are up here.